At 10 o'clock, they're happy. How is she dead 2 hours later?
When a San Diego police officer is found dead in her home, who investigates? Follow One of Their Own, a new podcast from KPBS, wherever you listen.
Good morning, I'm Lawrence K. Jackson. It's Tuesday, June 23rd. A new report says California schools are more divided between rich and poor than 40 other U.S. states. More on that next, but first, let's do the headlines. The San Diego County Board of Supervisors will soon vote on the county's $9.16 billion budget. Their meeting takes place on Thursday at 9 a.m. at the County Administration Center. If additional time is needed, the county says things may continue into Friday. The county says the budget supports health and safety net programs impacted by federal policy changes and expands behavioral health care. The county says you can watch the meeting online at sandiegocounty.gov. The revised budget is set to go into effect on July 1st. Summer officially started on Sunday. And now the National Weather Service says an early summer warming trend is anticipated across the county. Daytime high temperatures are likely to land anywhere from 5 to 10 degrees above average. NWS says there is a moderate to major level of heat risk in our deserts, and minor to moderate levels of heat risk are expected in our inland valleys and mountains. Wednesday and Thursday are anticipated as the warmest days, and then a cooling trend should begin to move in on Friday. The San Diego Humane Society says that pet deposits and no pet policies are now one of the top listed reasons being given for surrendering a pet. ABC 10 says that in lieu of this, the San Diego City Council is considering a measure initially proposed back in October that would do away with monthly pet-related fees altogether. The president of the Humane Society told ABC 10 that people are having to give up their animal family members because, quote, either housing is too expensive or too restrictive. SDHS's president also added that an initial security deposit makes sense, but, quote, having a monthly recurring fee is not necessary. The proposal now heads to the full San Diego City Council for a vote on June 30th. From KPBS, you're listening to San Diego News Now. Stay with me for more of the local news you need.
On The Finest Podcast, we cover the people, art, and movements redefining culture in San Diego, from Blink 182 to scrappy local bands. We also have cults, a lost composer, a world record traveler, and champion birders. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
A new report ranks California schools the 10th most economically segregated in the country. Reporter Katie Heisen has more on why that matters and what can be done.
Schools in California are more divided between rich and poor than in 40 other states in the country. That divide is worse than it was three decades ago nationally.
Concentrated poverty in schools is a unique educational harm.
The Brown's Promise Project co-authored the study. Stephen Owens is their policy director and a former teacher.
If you have one child in your 25 that you're teaching, that's having a difficult time or who has a lot of needs that are being unmet at home, that can be treated as like, okay, how can we support this human? If 20 of your 25 kids are dysregulated, are having these needs unmet,
he says economic segregation leads to teacher turnover and burnout and worse outcomes for students.
It's hard to learn if so many of your classmates are dealing with those unmet needs.
He says one of the most straightforward solutions is to redraw district lines or share across them.
They were not handed down from Mount Sinai. Like, these were lines that were drawn at one point and can be redrawn or can have their impact lessened in children's lives.
Katie Heisen, KPBS News.
From statewide education news to news on the county's largest school district, the San Diego Unified School District will vote on a resolution on technology use in classrooms tonight. Education reporter Katie Anastas gives us a preview.
If approved, the resolution would make a few changes for the start of the school year. First, students would not be allowed to use YouTube or other video streaming platforms on their school-issued devices. Second, gaming platforms would be prohibited. And third, transitional kindergarten classrooms would no longer have computer carts. Right now, TK students are assigned devices for use in class and return them to a cart rather than taking them home. By the end of the school year, the district would require online applications used in class to be ad-free. It also provide opt-out procedures for families who don't want students to take their devices home over the summer. The board will vote on the resolution at its meeting tonight at 5. Katie Anastas, KPBS News.
In other education-related news, Mexico's president was in Tijuana over the weekend to tell people that education is a right, not a privilege. Video journalist Matthew Bowler was there and brings us this report.
La educación es un derecho, no un privilegio.
That was the refrain from Mexican President Claudia Sheinbaum Pardo in Tijuana over the weekend. She made two stops in the city. The first was at an opening of a new high school, and her second stop was at Parque Morelos in Tijuana proper. The president was there to announce a new universal basic education scholarship for Mexican primary school students. In August, more than 290,000 Baja California primary school students will receive 2,500 pesos each. That's around $150.
Para que en agosto reciban...
They will receive the allowance for school supplies and uniforms in August. This scholarship is for all the children of Mexico.
In Tijuana, Matthew Bowler, KPBS News.
San Diego's road repair budget is vastly underfunded. Last week, Public Matters reporter Jake Gatta looked into why the city doesn't have enough money to fix all the roads. He joined Roundtable host Andrew Bracken to share an update on what the city is doing with the budget they do have.
So tell us, what's the situation with the city's road repair budget right now?
Well, it's pretty simple. The city doesn't have enough money to maintain the huge network of roads we have in the short term, and that means it'll just be more expensive down the road, if you'll pardon the pun.
And why is that? Where's the funding gap coming from?
So these road repair funds aren't just random or, you know, allocated out of the general budget. The money comes from specific things like gas taxes, state funds, and then the local transit ordinance, which is a sales tax. But the level of funding from all of those sources just hasn't kept up with the need to cover our whole network of roads.
But why is this happening now? It seems like there was money for these repairs in the past, right?
Well, a couple things are happening here. First, the roads are just getting older. And the longer you deferred maintenance on the roads, the more it costs to fix them when you do get around to it. And that, you know, budget just adds up. The other part is we're reaching sort of a breaking point for the city on the level of traffic on the roads, and the sprawling nature of a lot of the city's lower density neighborhoods just means there really isn't enough tax money coming in per mile of road. Here's what Bill Fulton, the former city planning director, told me.
When you have a sprawling city, the math doesn't add up between the amount of tax revenue coming in and the amount of money that has to go out the door for services.
So then what is the city's approach to solving this math problem then?
Well, the city just celebrated a record number of road repairs done by their in-house mill and pave team. So one thing the city found is that you can save money and do more miles of road for less with an in-house team instead of contracting it out. And that team is focused on the worst roads in the city that need a complete redo. A couple years ago, KPBS and our partner iNewsSource looked into the city's pavement management plan, and they found it was really inequitable in where roads are being prioritized for maintenance. So one aspect of the plan originally was to balance these super expensive repairs on like the really terrible quality roads with some cheaper fixes on the roads that aren't as bad to try and be cost effective and keep those roads from getting even worse. But what our partner found was a lot of the worst roads in the city are in lower income neighborhoods, places that have been underfunded and underserved for decades. So now the city's plan takes that into account, and they had a press conference in District 4 to celebrate that record 30 miles of repaired lanes completed by this in-house team this year. And here's what Mayor Todd Gloria said at the press conference.
This work is happening all across the city of San Diego, but a special effort has been made in our historically underserved communities like Council District 4 to make sure that the overdue investments are finally coming to these neighborhoods.
Okay, so the city said these 30 lane miles, they were a record, But put that into context for us. Is that a large share of the city's roads?
Well, overall, no, it's not. So the city has more than 6,600 miles of roadway lanes. It's the second largest city road network in the state behind Los Angeles. But these 30 miles that were completed by the in-house team, those are some of the worst roads in the city getting completely repaired. And that is a big deal, especially for the people who live in those communities and have to drive on that road all the time. And they're not the only miles being repaired. There's still other maintenance like slurry seals and some less expensive repairs being done across the city. They just wanted to highlight these because of how serious the repair was and how it's sort of taking this equity approach.
Got it. So what can be done long term here, ultimately?
Well, long term, the city's either going to need more revenue or fewer cars on the road, or both, actually. And so the path the city is on for roads, for transit, and for a lot of its infrastructure, honestly, is sort of unsustainable, which means it looks like there could be a ballot measure or two in 2028 that would try to address some of these serious funding problems.
Jake, thanks for being here.
Yeah, my pleasure.
That was Public Matters reporter Jake Gatta speaking with Roundtable host Andrew Bracken. Could San Diego play host to another NASCAR race next year? Military reporter Andrew Dyer says NASCAR officials are looking into it after calling the races this past weekend a big success.
Instead of roaring jets this weekend at Naval Air Station North Island, it was all roaring race cars. NASCAR Chief Operating Officer Ben Kennedy is already talking about coming back.
What's the future look like? Are we coming back? Are we not coming back? What I can tell you is that we feel like this is a tremendously successful event. We would love to return. We're also cognizant of the fact that this is active military base, and we want to be mindful of that as well.
The event had traffic challenges getting into and out of Coronado. There were race issues, too. All weekend, drivers struggled with traction as the concrete tarmac that served as part of the track chewed through their tires. Kennedy says NASCAR wants to return in 2027 and is talking things over with the Navy. Andrew Dyer, KPBS News.
That's it for the podcast today. This podcast is edited by Brooke Ruth and hosted and produced by me, Lawrence K. Jackson. As always, you can find more San Diego news online at kpbs.org. Thanks for listening and have a great day.
Most stories do not start with a journalist. They start with people noticing when a river runs dry, asking why a school is changing, discovering something new next door. Curiosity is human. Your right to keep asking questions is at the heart of NPR's mission, and we are not going anywhere.